Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to What Jail Is Like! Woo! Yes, continuing that lovely trend of opening up the shows with alienating screams.
You know,
I've got to ditch. I've still got my character's accent.
Yeah, no.
It's going to take me a while to get that off.
Where's that? Where's that switch on you?
I don't know.
It's like right under the nipple, I think.
Mm-hmm. Where most people have their tonsils.
So it's just the two of us again this week.
Just the two of us.
We'll get milkshakes if we try. Just the two of us. You and I.
Yeah, What Jail Is Like, 2 hours of improvisational comedy and radio theater. We make it up on the spot, but it's got all the glory of something that's been sitting in Shakespeare's attic for the last 500 years.
Yeah.
It's just emerged. Bright spanking new.
Bootlegged.
Yeah.
Shakespeare bootlegs.
Oh, Shakespeare bootlegs, yeah. Dick's pics of Shakespeare bootlegs.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cool. So how you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm kind of sick. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna be having cough drops in my mouth a lot this evening. Got really ill, like in a one night span. But I'm okay. That one night span started out with me seeing the X-Men though, so everything was fine.
That's good.
Are you turning me down?
I'm turning myself up and turning you down to comedy.
Oh, I see how it is.
Yes.
But yeah, X-Men, thumbs up.
Oh, X-Men, yeah. I was thinking we'd just, you know, pretend we're not geeks for a while. And hold off on the X-Men content. But X-Men, I was very good, very happy. Yeah.
I got a little bit trepidatious.
Mm-hmm.
Trepidatious? Right when it started, I was really hyped, and then it started, and I thought, oh, it's going to be abysmal. Like, oh my God, it's going to be horrible. I know it's going to be horrible. And, it was great.
Mm-hmm.
It was really, really good. First, big blockbuster of the summer.
A lot of strong, important lessons in that movie, too. You know, really will return the moral fiber to America.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Fear that which is different.
Fear that which is different, definitely.
Yeah.
You know. McCarthyism. You know, woo. It's on its way back.
Big hug.
The kids are into McCarthyism.
Back in vogue, man.
Mm-hmm.
That and body piercings.
Right. Really extensive, deep body piercings.
Rap metal McCarthyism.
Skeleton piercings.
Ick. I got my tibia pierced.
Wanted to be just like Wolverine.
Anyway, I really liked it, so that's all I have to say on that.
Good. Yeah, it was quite nice, and I was watching it in the theater, obviously. I don't have the bootleg yet, so I needed to clarify that. And these two, scrawny, geeky-looking people in front of me kissed after it ended. And I felt like it was some sort of moment of triumph, you know? Some sort of moment of validation.
Our lives are worth something.
$75 million worth of validation.
Nice.
It's kind of cool.
That's cool. I had these two guys sit next to me at the movie. I had my friend Katie sitting on one side of me, and then directly to my other side was this little scrawny guy and then his big fat friend.
Mm-hmm.
They're probably like 22. They had those big wide set eyes, pale, kind of like Gollum in the Lord of the Rings, from being in their parents' basement for so long. They were ridiculing everything. There was a preview for a really good movie beforehand, or something that like seems like it would be really good, but it wasn't a fanboy type of movie, you know? It was something that took a little cinematic investment, and they were like, God, that's stupid! How stupid! You know, and then they were making fun of the Unbreakable trailer.
Oh, I didn't get to see that one.
And got to see the Unbreakable trailer. And it's a superhero story.
Mm-hmm.
But they started ridiculing it immediately. They're like, blah, 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 and then it said, from M. Night Shyamalan, director and writer of The Sixth Sense. And they went, oh, cool! Like, immediately. Okay, wait, we were making fun of it, but now we know who it's by, so now it's cool.
Okay, let's abandon our trenchant, stupid social commentary.
And then they, for the first, 20 minutes of the movie, it was just like, yeah! Wait, did that say, did that say Poland? Yes, it's, I'm like, shut up. And then they poured rum in their big, huge Cokes. They were trying to be sneaky about it.
Oh, wow.
And then they were just idiots for the rest of the movie. So that's who I had next to me.
That's a shame. I think I had a pretty good audience.
Yeah.
They were quiet, but I had a pretty good audience.
Oh, my, yeah, see, mine weren't quiet at all.
Yeah, I wanted to be with people who are whooping it up a bit.
See, I want to go see it again, though, an early evening show this week, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Check it out. You know what? You remember you're talking about those moments when you forget that there's a microphone in front of you and it's just you and me. I just moved my head so that the part of the microphone was obscuring a different part of your face, and I realized that that was there. And I was playing with my shoe.
Oh, yeah.
I am so creeped out. Like, wait, I'm talking about this on the air. So anyway, that was cool. That was fun.
I was happy about that. Let's move on.
Anything else happen in the world?
No. I saw this news story right before I left about how there's some sort of geomagnetic storm going on this week. Apparently it's dissipating, but it's disrupted some communication satellites. And I was thinking how, one of the things about the modern age is it's not quite so exciting to know the explanations behind, these geomagnetic storms. Back in the day, people might have visualized, like, God standing over the earth, like, holding magnets and waving them around angrily, And now we just know it's radiation from the sun or whatever. It's not as good.
Yeah. Or, but we can all hope that maybe it is Magneto.
Yeah. Perhaps it is Magneto.
I mean, it's fortuitous.
Well, let's grab some Canadians, strap some metal to his skeleton, and let him go find out.
Hey, I'm all for it.
Okay.
Basically, because the Canadians aren't worth much.
Well.
Okay, sorry. Okay, no more X-Men content, I promise. But I just, it's too easy.
We'll see what we can do about that.
Yeah, we'll try to cut down on the X-Men content.
Mm-hmm.
So, my dog back home is retarded.
Mm-hmm. As opposed to the other sterling examples of canine intelligence that I
No, like, there. My aunt's dog, really smart.
Mm-hmm.
You tell Molly to do things, like, Molly, be quiet. And she actually, it's not just like, you don't have to yell, just go, Molly, be quiet. She, very quiet.
You sure it's not a little girl named Molly?
No, it's with a dog suit.
the really wily dog slipped the dog collar around her, and then the dog took off to school.
It's actually a smart dog. But Goldie, cute. Cute as a button, my dog Goldie is. But dumb.
Mm-hmm.
And just really in a very, very strange way, she wants attention, so she pretends to throw up behind you if you don't pay attention to her. She's like, and if you don't turn around,
mm-hmm.
she will eventually throw up. And then you turn around, she's like, audio footnote, I'm just opening my eyes very widely. God, I'm an idiot too. See, I haven't spent too much time with the dog. And audio footnote. You'll be watching a movie. She'll sit right in front of you. Like, you're looking at the TV, but she's right under your eye line looking at you. And she'll wait for you to pet her. But she's standing, like, 2 feet away. And then if you don't, like, you're ignoring her. You're watching a movie. She'll start barking at you. Then she'll attack you. She'll start pawing you. Like, mm-hmm. she's got big old claws. Just not a smart dog. 3 o'clock in the morning, she woke me up. She wanted to go outside. Okay? I'm like, fine, if she has to pee or poop or whatever, that's cool, because she won't do it in the house. No. I put her on the chain, she sauntered out the door, and then just sat right outside the door. Licked herself a bit. No idea what she wanted. I think she just wanted me out of bed.
Mm-hmm.
I hate that dog so much.
Well, there's a certain feeling that you get when you lick yourself in the open air as opposed to...
True. And I get to this point where I lose it, and I start yelling very complicated sentences at her, and Goldie, if you don't shut up, I swear to God, I'm going to beat you.
If then relationships, great. Yeah, generally don't happen with dogs.
No, and I don't, it's like, I can skip the whole actual sentence construction by just going, ah, rah, 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 it's just a tone, It's just like if you yell, they're like, bad. No, he goes to turn me down again. So anyway, yeah, dog sitting. I'm so glad it's going to be over next weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I'm tired of it already. I grow weary of her hijinks.
Yeah?
Yeah. But that's about it. That's all. Nothing really big happened this week. I got really sick, intensely sick for one day, which wasn't cool. Although I did have a surreal experience of I had a tape of the show in the car. I woke up really kind of delirious with 102-degree fever on Saturday morning. Plotted around the house for a while. It was really like things were moving. It was really bizarre. And I realized there was no medicine of any kind in the house. It was out of cough drops. And there was nothing to drink other than milk, which isn't very good for you when you're sick. So I had to get some clothes on and go outside. Now I'm having a bad day because I was supposed to go out to a family gathering and I had to cancel on my dad. And that's never a good thing. It doesn't matter if you have an excuse. Dad gets really angry. So I had to do that, and
is that why those black roses were delivered to our door?
Yeah. And you know, I had now I had to drive in the condition I was in. You know, I wasn't feeling very well. I didn't feel very safe. So I'm leaving the house, and I like very purposely lock like the back door that we always go out of. All the other doors are locked. The back door that we always go out of has like one of those almost like a bathroom door lock. Mm-hmm. You push the handle in and turn it. You know, so I do that. I'm very purposely doing it, and I'm pulling the door closed. I'm pulling the door closed. I'm like, man, you know, because I was thinking, I have the only key, like, you know, my mom's in Florida. Thinking, boy, wouldn't it be funny if I left the key inside? Put my hand in my pocket. Car keys are sitting on the kitchen counter.
Mm.
So I start panicking because I'm sick, I'm feverish, you know. Luckily, I managed to get the garage door open. I just fought with it enough. So then I end up using up so much energy, though, getting the garage door open that I had to sit for an hour before I was even, you know, could think about walking to the car. Got in the car, almost got in two accidents. But a surreal experience of getting in the car, forgetting, since I was so sick and delirious, forgetting that there was a tape of, like, the show, and mm-hmm. then turning it on and hearing your voice and starting to try to carry on a conversation with you.
Aw.
Because I was so delirious, yeah. Long story short punchline, but it was true. It actually happened. I was like, Mark? It's really creepy.
It was that show where I kept going, yes, Eric. That one show. Nobody knew why at the time, but now
you
it
knew.
Becomes apparent.
You knew. It was, you're like an Andy Kaufman type of thing.
Deadly apparent.
So that's all. That's my entire weekend in a nutshell.
It was, I drove up to Chicago on Friday and then came back the same night, but very late on and the same night. Never stopped at a rest stop around 4:30, 5 a.m. before. But that is a fascinating sort of experience. You drive by, and you know, you see all the trucks parked there, and you figure the truckers are, you know, in the back sleeping. But it's also packed full with smaller cars, with people who've pulled off the road and they're sleeping. The only times I've ever pulled off the road and slept, I just pull off on the actual highway and sit alongside the highway because I like being one of those strange deserted cars
yeah.
that are there periodically. You can't imagine why. But rest stops, very creepy around that time of night. You know, lots of people passed out, very cemetery-like atmosphere. Was furious at the inside of the rest stop, my purpose being, of course, to go to the bathroom. And now they're, on all the equipment there, no handles whatsoever. You know,
yeah.
You stand up and the toilet flushes. I don't see that we really need a handleless world.
Yeah.
You know? The effort.
I want to be in control of my poop situation.
Exactly.
You know?
Like, I couldn't wipe and then throw anywhere near quick enough for that. You know, it'd be damn near instantaneous. I was thinking I'd need to sit, you know, I had to throw my, you know, used wipe into the thing that after it had flushed. And I was thinking I would need to sit down and then stand up again for that to go. I'm not going to do that.
No, you gotta master the sit and scoop, as I like to call it.
I guess. The three seashells? Audio footnote, one Demolition Man reference, only Demolition Man reference. Try to chalk it up as a Brave New World reference, if you will. I'd appreciate that. And audio footnote.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, so I was annoyed. The person I was driving with theorized that perhaps, you know, it's to eliminate disease, you know, to make, like, cut down on the spread of germs. But was anyone really kicking off for toilet handle related death? You know,
that was I remember a PSA we read about the that you know pneumonia or the flu was like one of the top three killers
mm-hmm.
of people over 58 or whatever. But toilet seat handle related deaths was way up there in the top 10. I think it was like 7.
Number 7 with a bullet and rising.
Yeah,
and CD cassette and DVD ROM.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was irritating. And then, of course, the sinks didn't have handles either, so you just pretty much put your hand under it and the water comes out. But the one thing in the entire place that wasn't automatic, the you know dryers were, of course, automatic, one thing that wasn't automatic is the soap. And so at this point, you've been totally conditioned by the toilet and the water to expect that you know the soap is just going to flood out. So me and the person who walked in next to me and you know God knows who, how many other people and the girl that I've been driving with, all of us, you know, just related the experience to each other of fumbling, holding our hand under it, slapping the soap box, you know, waiting for something to happen before it finally comes out. And I think it's all a terrible situation.
I do, too. I'm there's certain circumstances where automation to me is a bad idea.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like there's times when you need that restroom, that rest station sink for something other than washing your hands.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to figure out a way to rig everything up.
That's true.
You know, or like vomiting. Like, what if you have to throw up in a rest station? Your head keeps coming up, it keeps flushing. You keep, you know, and then you're, then it's spurting up at you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Not, these are not good things.
We're becoming a world that, you know, Jack Kerouac of On the Road would not recognize, would not like, you know, could not tear across in his Cadillac.
No. Well, I mean, it is kind of scary, though. Like, we're getting so lazy that we can't even flush the toilet.
Either that or we're being secretly run by flipper babies.
Well, they can't. They don't like those handles.
Yeah.
But even a flipper baby, if it gets a good knock on it.
I mean, other environments, they've got to work it out. You know, it's not going to make the major difference.
Right. So I don't know. It's kind of creepy.
Just not happy about it.
Yeah.
I guess.
Be about it either.
Another thing I found very interesting is, I guess I'd never really taken a close look at a hand dryer before, or maybe it was just this hand dryer, but I doubt it was. That the hand dryer had a list of pro hand dryer arguments on it, like pro hand dryer, anti hand towel arguments, and is this supposed to make me feel good about the monopoly? You know, because you know it's not as though I was making a choice here,
right?
And you know, some really virulent slams towards the hand towel camp. You know, I'm really looking forward to, you know, checking out some other state's rest stop and hoping, you know, the hand towel camp comes out swinging. You know. You know, hand dryers. Don't get it all dry. You got to wait there for a long time.
Yeah, this is true. They both have their perks.
Yeah.
But given the choice, if I go into a bathroom that has a paper towel dispenser and an air dryer,
mm-hmm.
I'm going for the paper towel dispenser.
Me too.
You know? You just feel drier.
Yeah, you really do. You know, you've got some control. You can get around, you know, the fingers.
And then some FDS to continue feeling dry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm definitely... in that camp, as far as it goes, disgusting those places where it's just like the loop, the cloth on a loop.
Okay, no. And you see some guy who's like wiping his face on it, and you're like, good Christ.
I don't know exactly what the goal is there, because, you know, you're not only, you know, it's just like putting your germs on a roller and picking up other, I'm tired of my germs, you know, my new ones.
It's like germ exchange.
Yeah.
It's like the goodwill of germs.
Really kind of is.
Well, I mean, it doesn't function exactly the way everybody thinks it is, because I've had to load those at one of the places I used to work.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually is two separate rolls. You send them out to be washed. So every day they put a new, like, 50-foot towel. Or something. Mm-hmm. It's not 50 feet, but it's pretty long. And then you drag one end of it out and over to this other roller. So it doesn't actually continue to come through.
Oh, okay.
So as long as somebody pulls on it before they wipe, you're using something new. So...
But unless it's been a really popular dispenser.
Right.
Or they didn't wash very well.
Right.
I'm just trying to instill paranoia here.
It's still pretty gross.
Yeah.
Because you don't know how many people, like, you know, and you don't know how far to pull. Some ass may have, like, stuck his hand up into the dispenser and, like, you know.
Another perk of the hand dryer stuff that I have to give them credit for is they're very good if you're working in an office job and you're becoming very numb to life. And you decide to give yourself a 45-minute bathroom break. I worked at a job once where I just went into the bathroom and activated the hand dryer and stood there and reminded myself that I was a human being who felt things. It could become very important as society becomes, further and further compartmentalized.
You're a weird guy.
I don't think I'm that weird. Well, you know. But for that reason. But you know.
Personally, I don't think there's anything better than at a crappy job taking a nap with your pants around your ankles in the stall, you know?
Yeah.
Just drop the pants all the way down and then pass out. It's liberating to know that you're at work with your pants off.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a screeching halt. Come on. Get the funny going. This might be a good time to say, bring us milkshakes, because we're low on energy tonight.
The WEFT studios are located at 113 North Market Street in Champaign. It's right around the corner from, the new Amtrak station and the old Amtrak station. There's Mike and Molly's right next door. There's Jupiter's. And what Jale's like, we get also lonesome sometimes, you know. We talk a lot. Our mouths become very dry. There's no water cooler here. And having the suggestive hint of chocolate in their mouths makes the world so much better for us. It really, really makes us happy and allows us to serve you better because we love you. It allows you to get through the door, allows you to get a little closer to what Jill's like, and we do want you a little bit closer. So we would very much like you, if you can find it in your hearts, to come on down and, such as it is, be a part of what Jill's like for this week. Milkshakes. We really love milkshakes. I can't speak for Eric, and I would suspect that he doesn't agree with me on this, but there's not much that gives me happiness in life save milkshakes. Not a whole lot I care about except milkshakes and the people who bring them to me. And that would be absolutely lovely if you could bring them to us at the WEFG Studios, 113 North Market Street in Champaign. Because our mouths are dry. And that would just... That would really make things perfect for us at this point in time. I've got a really dry sort of taste in my mouth from having eaten ramen earlier this evening. And then I dozed off. So I've got a boulder in my stomach and this really, I've been sucking on, like the clothes that some dead person is wearing. Sort of taste in my mouth. And it would do a lot of really good things for me. If I had a milkshake. I like chocolate. Eric likes vanilla. That's kind of the idea. 113 North Market Street in Champaign is the address. You can call us at 359-9338 if you get lost. We'll throw on a song and then we'll go out into the streets and yell for you so that you know where to go. That's the idea. Milkshakes for what jail's like because what jail's like, it's hell on earth. So we've got to help them somehow.
All right. And if you're a hot chick, come on by. Why not? You know?
A hot peep.
Or no, if you're not even a hot peep. No, but
if you've been thrown into the microwave.
If you're somebody who's called us a lot, even if you don't bring can't bring milkshakes, come by the studio. We want to meet you. You know, there's not a whole lot of time left to meet the wonderful people behind what jail's like.
No, that's true.
You know, you get a couple weeks, and then we're getting the hell out. So,
Or so we think.
Or so we think.
Yeah.
Freeze! Cut to next October.
Okay.
Hey. Yeah. What jail is like?
Chafing under these chains.
Cut back. But, you know, we'd like to meet you. Miriam, if you're out there, get your butt down here. Elizabeth, you called us last week. Triple J? Where you at? Matt? Carol? Haven't heard from you guys in a while. Let's go. Get on the ball, kids. Come down, 113 North Market Street. Have like a kumbaya sit-in.
Did everyone else hear Eric crunch that kind of drop on the air?
Oh, was it really loud?
It was kind of cool. Yeah, I think so.
I didn't mean to.
Yeah.
I was trying to get it out of the way. It was either that or spew it across the room, so. I don't know. Split-second decisions, man.
Yeah.
Me and Kurt Russell making executive decisions.
I saw that movie.
Did you? Was it any good?
Well, you know, they do kill off Steven Seagal. Like,
and they do it pretty early, don't they?
Yeah, very early. And I can't remember if I knew that they were doing it or not. Now the listenership knows that they are doing it. But, you know, it still makes you happy. Even if you know it's coming, it's still like, oh, all right. You know, he's gone.
You know, it's like when we were watching Scream 3 last week and we were trying to figure out who the killer was. And when it turned out, I'm not going to give it away. I'm just kidding, folks. You know what? That's last show. I'm giving away the endings to tons of movies just on purpose. I'm just going to rattle them off. Surprise endings. Go.
I read something just a week and a half ago about Jean-Claude Van Damme was recently arrested for drunken driving.
Oh, wow.
And it's a game that I play with myself once every, year or so. Put myself in Jean-Claude Van Damme's shoes. What do I do at this point in time?
You kick something.
You know, I would probably kick something. But, you know, like, where does he manage his career from here? You know, like, what is the best possible decision that he could make?
I don't know.
I mean, does he have enough left to just go buy an island and go sit on it for a while?
Possibly.
I mean, is he getting great scripts that he just doesn't know to take? I kind of doubt the American Beauty script went through his door. But I don't know. You know, I don't really know.
So, for the part of Angela.
Yeah. I think at this point, he could maybe do a really gripping alcoholic drama. Because he just had the drunk driving thing. And that would be really neat.
They're looking at him for the Tony Danza part in the Who's the Boss feature film.
Yeah?
Yeah. Coming quick on the heels of the Brady Bunch movies that were so successful.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the Boss is the next one.
All right.
And Beverly Hillbillies did so well, too.
Mm-hmm.
What happened? I'm so glad that... What happened to that trend? Remember that? There were like three summers in a row where like all the biggest movies that, you know, not that they really were, but the ones that were being touted as the big comedies for the summer,
mm-hmm.
were, you know, movie versions of old TV shows.
I don't think it'll ever completely end.
Do you? Why?
Unfortunately.
When last one was Lost in Space, and then since then what? Well, I guess they did that Flintstones Viva Rock Vegas. Okay, mm-hmm. you're right. Forgot about that. Came and went. Thank God.
Did we ever review that one?
No.
I can't remember.
Want to do a quick review of it right now? It sucked!
Did you see
no.
it?
No.
Okay.
But I'm guessing, I'm betting I'm right. I'm betting on it.
Mm-hmm.
So.
If you're a bet man, come down to the milkshake, to the studio with milkshakes in hand, and place a bet with Eric on us.
Come down to the milkshake, that's what we like to call this place now. Hanging out at the milkshake.
Yes, one big cup. Eric's half is vanilla, my half is chocolate.
Sometimes they get swirled together.
So we're going to go off to a song right now. If you've got anything that you need to say to what Yale's like, the phone number is 359-9338. Operator's standing by. Yes, 113 North Market Street, because we'd love to see you and the milkshake, because we're very thirsty and it would be very important for us at this space of time to have one.
But wait about, like, I mean, you know, wait a few minutes, just because I just finished a cough drop. And
oh, don't wait. No. No. That's crap.
Okay, don't wait. Get down here now. Let's see how many milkshakes we can get in the studio. I want more than one person to show up with milkshakes this week. Let's try to do it.
Okay, greed sets in. 359-9338 is the phone number.
Avarice!
This band is called... Oops. Let me restate the fact that this band is called Daryl.